You're listening to a Between the Lines Studios podcast. You can learn more about this show and other Between the Lines shows at BetweenTheLinesStudios.com.
Just like that, Anya. She's newly human and strangely literal.
What? I don't say that. No one says that. No one talks that way.
Strangely Literal, the podcast.
So here's the part when you make a choice.
Deborah Book was just telling us funny stories about his life at the monastery.
This goes beyond anything I've ever done. It's a total loss of control. And not in a nice, wholesome, my girlfriend has a pierced tongue kind of way.
I think you've already figured out I'm not the poster boy for normal.
I've given some thought to moving off the edge. Not an ideal location.
No matter what I say or do, there's not a chance of me impressing you.
Hi everyone, this is Tabitha bringing you another story for Strangely Literal. I am bringing you a Spike story actually, so I hope you enjoy this one. It's probably one of the funniest fanfics I've read in a while, but it's so true that it seems truer than it might actually be. Obviously, if you don't know, Buffy, Angel, and Firefly and Dollhouse and all those other things are fake, but there's some stories where they're crazy and silly and you know that could never happen real in the real story. But this is crazy and funny enough, but still it could possibly be real. And it's probably the best use of pop culture to explain someone's character. So I hope you enjoy. It is read by the ever lovely Heidi, and yeah, it's Spike. What's not to like, apparently, since I like Angel better, but you know. I know there's Spike lovers out there, and I don't hate Spike. I enjoy the complexity of the character, the evil and good and everything in between of Spike. So this is a great story to explain his progression in life. And if you hear weird noises, that's my kitten Jack, who has a cold. So poor Jack. But that's it from me. I hope that you are enjoying your Whedonverse day, and we'll talk to you again next week. Bye.
Time for some thrilling heroics. Here's how it is.
You get killed, I'm telling.
Okay, that's new.
Darth Vader by Summers Fan. The first time Spike saw Star Wars, it was in a theater filled with overawed teenagers. He'd been looking for a light snack at the time. It had just been released, and while the effects did awe him a little bit, he remembered the first moving picture, and this was nothing like that. The overall story did more than that. William, before the change, had been a classically educated little bugger. The kind that lived and breathed the old myths, the archetypes. The demon had left all that behind, rebuilding himself into something so far from that it wasn't funny. Something that used those bits to craft a new myth. One that was dangerous and low-bred. Something that was far scarier than anything else it could imagine. But he remembered all that education, all those bits and pieces, and staring at the screen, seeing all those old myths wrought large with special effects and cheesy acting, with big music and bigger explosions, he couldn't help but be a little bit moved. Watching the big bad swagger, long black cape billowing behind him, he decided that soon, very soon, he would have a big black cape like that. It reminded him of the coat he'd seen the Slayer wearing the last time they'd fought. He decided that when he killed her, he was keeping the coat, because he was Darth Vader, the big bad. He was going to be all that. Later, he would claim he'd been doing the whole long black coat thing before Darth Vader, but that was just a lie to cover up how deeply he'd been moved. Some people loved the bounty-hunting Pratt, some the roguish charmer, some the farm boy, but Spike had a deep and abiding love for villains, who weren't afraid to kill their enemies with their own hands, who loved a little torture of a fair maiden, who didn't mind killing the occasional bone-headed minion, and whose enemies feared him so clearly. Then came a sequel, and Vader was more badass. He loved it. Even with the family ties revealed, with that whiny farm boy as a son, it didn't diminish the power of the fight, the torture, the way Vader destroyed ruthlessly. Then came the third one, and Darth Vader turned on his wicked ways, killing his master and dying to save his whiny son. Spike killed every man, woman, and child in the movie theater when he saw that, disgusted and unhappy. He knew they were going to do something like that, of course. He had expected them to kill Darth Vader at the end, good triumphing over evil. He'd been to enough movies to know how the normals liked their movies to end. Still, that would have been a more fitting way to cap off the story, going out in a big bad fight. Instead, there was a father and son reuniting, evil falling away in the background. Spike could imagine nothing worse. When the first prequel came out, he was just a few months shy of having a chip stuffed in his head. He knew he would hate it, but he still watched it. Maul was lifeless, the sort of minion Angelus would have liked, and the movie made no sense to him. What with all this obsession with Anakin's mother? And there was a hint of a love story, but that just made him angry, since he had lost Drusilla again, and love was something that filled him with rage those days. If it inspired him to anything, it was to make a plan to become a more ferocious vampire, get the Gem of Amara, and kill the Slayer, which was, in a way, the plan that led to him getting chipped by the Initiative. He missed the second prequel in theaters. It came out days after he left for Africa to get his soul back. When he returned and he was crazy, he managed to watch it on a computer before the DVD release. Crazy, but still driven by the same things that made him so very much like him. The soul turned things around altogether. Then he had understood what all the mumbo-jumbo was about mothers and anger and redemption, and it wasn't really the same story, not just like his own story. But there was love and blood, and he'd come to understand Darth Vader in a new way. It was chilling, the way the pieces fell into place. He and Angel had burned L.A. into hell before the final prequel came out. And that was just as well. He had no mood left for any more revelations about Anakin Skywalker. He was afraid it would show him more of himself. And he was already pretty well screwed in that department. Because when he was evil, all that evil on display, all the terrible imagery, had appealed to him. He hadn't realized the reasons it appealed, or what he was running from. He hadn't realized that inside of that big dark idol on the screen was the same screaming little child hidden deep within him. Especially deep within himself, of course, giving the soulless status. But these days he keeps the cape, his trophy, the coat. He revels in appearing to be Darth Vader, and at the same time he carries with him all that whiny Nancy boy crap he had disdained. He tries hard not to let it show at all. He wants enemies and friends alike to still see him as Darth Vader, no matter how many freaking times he saves the world.
All of the characters and universes referenced here are the intellectual copyrighted material of Joss Whedon, the Fox Network, Universal Pictures, and others. This podcast and the stories contained therein are purely for entertainment purposes, and no money or Second Life money was made off of this. All stories are by individuals and used with permission from the author. Strangely Literal is created in Chicago and has no connection or affiliation with Joss Whedon or any other fine podcasts out there. For more information about this show, please check out our website at strangelyliteral.com.
Hi, this is Jack Mangan of the Deadpan Podcast, and you're listening to the Literally Strange Podcast. No. Hi, this is Jack Mangan, and you're strange for being illiterate. No, wait. Hi, this is Strange Jack Mangan. No. This is Jack Mangan, and Tabs is literally a strange podcaster. Hi, this is Chiwetel Ejiofor, and you're watching Serenity 2, The Quickening. What? No. Okay, hold on. Hi, this is Jack Mangan, and you're listening to the Strangely Literal Podcast.
Grr.
Gah.
Yay, me.